Thank you for joining us again for another informative episode of Satellite Nation. Satellite Nation is a weekly call-in show geared towards the hobby side of all things television. Brought to you by Satellite Guys Radio. Now here are your hosts, Michael and Brian.
Good evening, Satellite Nation. I'm Brian Gohl, a.k.a. Titanium.
And I'm Michael Graves, K-E-4-E-S-T. Good evening, Satellite Nation. Now, on this show, we sat down and had a visit with Roger Sanchez. Roger is the owner and founder of RPS Satellite near Montreal. That's up in Quebec, Canada. RPS Satellite is a satellite and home electronics reseller and installation service. And Roger brings many years of experience and knowledge about C-band and KU-band, having been an avid hobbyist and technology expert.
Now, coming up in the second half of the show, we'll be announcing and talking with callers about the departure of a longtime manufacturer in the satellite industry. Phone lines will be open in about 30 minutes, so we look forward to your questions and comments. Jot down these numbers and give us a call during the live Satellite Nation show on October 15th, 2014. The telephone number is 877-SAT-GUYS. That's 877-728-4897.
Also, if you're an international caller or you just want to save us a dime, please call us at 347-327-9319. And if you happen to miss a Satellite Nation show, you can always find a link after each show over at the Satellite Guys Radio forums, and that's at www.satelliteguys.us. And don't forget to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Satellite Nation Radio. And we encourage you to follow us over at Twitter at SatNat Radio.
We also want to give a special thanks to Scott over at SatelliteGuys.us. It's a great forum if you're into different technologies, whether you have a satellite system or home theater or just into TV programming. There's a lot of forums on there and a great way to chat with others about technology and the programming out there. Also want to thank Dave over at Got C-Band for the audio server and helping us get up on Galaxy 19KU. Also, Ralph Black. Now, Ralph Black is the owner of Access America. Now, that can be heard on streaming and also up on satellite Galaxy 19KU. Now, he and Mike Cole have the longest-running satellite radio show, and that's right after our show, right after Satellite Nation ends, and that's at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Wednesday nights. Now, you can hear that on Access America, or you can also hear it on Satellite Guys Radio. And I think that's now carried for the full two-hour show on Satellite Guys Radio, isn't it?
Yes, Brian, it sure is. It's full 2 hours now over at Satellite Guys.
Excellent, excellent.
All right, let's roll that interview with Roger and find out more about the satellite industry in Canada there, Brian. Let's do it.
All right, this evening we're talking with Roger Sanchez. Now, Roger is the owner-founder of RPS Satellite, and you're located up in Canada near Montreal. Where are you located exactly, Roger?
Exactly, we are located in Vaudreuil-Dorion. That's about a half-hour drive from downtown Montreal.
Tell us a little bit about your business there.
Well, we do residential, we do commercial installations, we do OTA, satellite, of course, C-band, custom home theater installations. Locally, we do a lot of, we supply a lot of contractors with a lot of AV equipment and cabling. And across Canada, we do a lot of shipping. I'd say it's kind of a mix. I mean, it's probably 50-50 with satellite and AV equipment and connectors and stuff like that.
Did you have, what did you do yourself personally for your personal satellites? Did you have free-to-air? Did you have a paid subscription, over-the-air stuff? What was your personal satellite before you got in and started the business?
Yeah, I've had a C-band dish since I think it was 1985, 1986. Started out with, oh man, I think it was a Chaparral receiver. Always had OTA. That's been kicking for years. Still have it up till this day. And yeah, both systems are the originals, and they're going. You know, of course, I've replaced the cable, amplifiers here and there, LNBs on the dish, of course. Little bit of damage on the mesh, fix that. But yeah, both systems are running. Well, I wouldn't say A-OK. I should realign my butt actually, but it's doing pretty good.
Now, how much of being a hobbyist and having that early satellite equipment, the C-band equipment, how much of that influences what you do now?
I'd say that definitely sparked my interest in it. I mean, years ago, I've always been involved, always played around with it, always liked to tinker. Because I had a system, I definitely met guys even prior to opening RPS. I met guys in the business, some guys that I still talk to now and some people I do not speak to. But yeah, that definitely having the equipment was, motivated me to open the company and, have something here in Canada available for people that basically thought the big dish was, I guess, like I've heard the term, the dinosaur dish, and the, you know, C-band, they thought it was extinct and you couldn't get the parts anymore. We even had some suppliers here in Canada say you couldn't get the parts anymore because they don't make them, which we know that's not true.
I was reading your website and about page, and it says that you before, you know, you started this business up, you had a supposed professional come out to line your system up, and now, without mentioning any names or anything, tell us about that experience. How bad was that experience?
It was pretty bad. okay, I'm going to try to recall this. This was quite some time ago. I was looking around. It was definitely very hard to find somebody. I found a couple, maybe two, three guys were pretty far out. That were basically only worked for commercial, though. But I think one of them mentioned they would come out, but for a ridiculous amount of money. So I kept looking, found a place here in Montreal. They said they could do it. They have the equipment. They have the knowledge. You know, I talked to them. I asked them what I wanted. I mentioned what I wanted, what receivers. They brought everything over. You know, the guy, I don't remember now. Again, it was quite some time ago. He did have an instrument. I'm not sure if it was a spectrum analyzer. It must have been, especially at that time. But unfortunately, they probably didn't know how to use it because they went to go set up the dish. And, you know, I tinkered around with it without, because I knew, you know, you needed a professional to set it up perfect. You know, I wanted it to be running 100% so I could get all my CKU bands without a problem. And I was having a little bit of issues. So I decided to call the professionals, which I thought they were. They came out, right, set everything up, and nothing was working. I think at that time we had a 4D TV installed, and they set satellites that were not even in the proper positions. What else did they do? The KU band was non-existent, and a couple of days later the servo motor died. That probably wasn't because of them, but mind you, it took me a while to actually get a free replacement servo motor.
So how much did this experience affect your decision to get into the industry?
I would say that was the big turning point where, at one time I was purchasing stuff to help people upgrade their systems locally. And when this happened, the fact that I knew if I had such a hard time finding someone to come and take a look at my system, and they did this to me, imagine how many other people this has happened to. So basically at that point in time, I decided, you know, not just to do a little bit of a hobby thing on the side to help people out, I decided to go 100% right into the registering the company, getting incorporated and all that, and I just launched RPS right there and then, not long after that that bad experience I had with a local company.
I figured it must have been having friends and family or something, you know, because just getting a few parts here and there, you know, ordered from U.S. or China or whatever's not, you know, for a hobbyist ain't that big a deal. But I figured you must have knew a lot of friends and family and stuff. So, hey, you know, we've got to get a better setup around this area, you know.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. It was definitely, in the beginning when I was just, before the company launched, yeah, everything bringing in, I mean, we're not getting wholesale pricing, so it was definitely pretty expensive for people to upgrade.
So what were some of the first items that you you started carrying when you started your RPS satellite?
Yes, the first items were actuator arms, chaparral feed horns. At that time, just the domestic ones. Later on, the demand for the wideband, the international, for most of the sports bars here grew, so I started bringing those in. We were able to bring them in by case at that time. We had the Pansat receivers. I think it was a 2500 with the first DVB free-to-air receiver I carried, if I'm not mistaken. And then followed by the Traxxas 3500, at that time, which was a very good blind scan receiver.
How hard was it to get stuff in, you know, in multiple quantities like that, in just kind of having crazy border laws and stuff? Or was it when you decide I need brand new quantities?
Up till this day, yes, it is kind of hard to bring in stuff from the United States because we do get hit very hard with brokerage fees and all that. And this is why, you know, some Canadians always want the American price. I try my best to do that, but sometimes it's basically impossible.
So for those of you listening this evening, if you want to check out Roger's site, you can visit his website at www.rpssat.com. That's www.rpssat.com. So as we're chatting here, people can surf around your site and see some of the products that you carry and maybe learn a little bit more about you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, we're constantly upgrading and adding new products to the sites. I mean, we're definitely very active on social media. We do have Twitter and Facebook and all that. I would definitely recommend Twitter if anybody else wants to check that out. Probably after the show, we'll pop up some discount codes from the Satellite Nation show.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, very good. So you, like Michael and I, probably check out some different forums. Now, up in Canada, what are some of the forums in Canada that the hobbyists visit and are active?
I personally usually recommend the Digital Home Forum. Very good with the OTA. Free-to-air checking is there as well. It's not as popular. It's a very, very good forum. I know a lot of customers that actually found me through there through links. So I do send a lot of people out there to Digital Home. But in Canada, I would say that's the one that I usually look at or refer customers to. Of course, in the United States, Satellite Guys. And we still send people over to the SAT forums, even though, from what I know, that forum is not that popular anymore. But we still send people over there once in a while.
Digital. That's digitalhome.ca, right? www.digitalhome.ca.
Yeah, most probably just Google Digital Home. You probably find it right away at the top.
Now, digitalhome.ca, you were mentioning a lot of people are on there for the OTA forums. OTA is quite popular along the border with U.S. and Canada.
Yes, definitely. Unfortunately, a town that's kind of close to the U.S. border, not far from Vaudreuil-Dorion, about 45 minutes from here, we did a test site. It's in Cornwall, Ontario, and there's no reception out there. So anybody out there in Cornwall, you'd probably be better off maybe with satellite, letting you know, because we've done some tests there and it's bad.
I understand up in Canada, though, that they're rethinking the over-the-air up there. I understand there's some hearings that are starting up there?
You know what? I'm not sure what's going to end up happening. I really hope, you know, it doesn't affect what we're receiving now. But, you know, there's all talks and this and that. Right now, it's just talks. I mean, right now, everything is still working fine, which I'm happy about, and people are still upgrading, people are still installing. I guess we're just going to have to wait and see exactly what's going to happen with the future of OTA here in Canada. I really hope it stays available and there's no problems with access to these free channels that everybody seems to enjoy.
Now, going back to free-to-air for Canada, I know one of the reasons that free-to-air has been very popular in Canada is traditionally a lot of the programming, unless it was sponsored in Canada, didn't make it across the borders onto your cable systems. And I understood that a lot of people, that's why they did adopt C and KU band systems, so they could have access to some of this network programming that would not make it onto the Canadian satellite systems and cable systems.
Oh, definitely. Especially at one point when there was a lot of, with the free to air, with the subscription program, that was something different, a little bit of a gray market thing here in Canada.
Right.
But with the free to air, yes, definitely, people, you know, are able to see all the American networks. And again, if they do not have reception for OTA in their area, C-band is definitely the way to go. You get all the networks, the U.S. networks up there, and many other stations, of course, as you guys know. I mean, with free to air, you know, you have the regular, I guess you could say, user who would probably just, you know, set in a couple of channels, just use it as is. And then you have the more advanced guys that set it up on their own and scan here and there. And then you have the extremely advanced guys who really like to tinker and have multiple receivers and PCI satellite cards. And that's, probably like us.
Well, describe your system now. You told us what you started out with. What do you have now for your own personal system?
Right now I have a couple of PCI cards that are not hooked up anymore. I'm using a micro HD. I'm still actually using a 4D TV receiver, but I'm not sure. I'll probably swap that out for the ASC1 eventually, because all the DigiCypher stuff's basically, you know, I don't even think the music's there. I mean, I haven't checked in a while, but there's, you know, the old school DigiCypher or Dino Cypher, as a lot of people like to call it. A lot of the channels that used to be in the clear are basically not there anymore. And, you know, the 4D's getting a little bit old, so I might swap that out. But I have a couple of other free-to-air receivers that, again, I disconnected because, you know, I have like a CoolSat, a DigiWave, I think 9000, a PanSat. Mm-hmm. 9000, Pantsat 9200. Most of them are in the closet now.
Oh, I find it very hard to throw anything away. You know, once I bought it and used it, I'm always thinking, oh, you know, I'll just put that in a spare bedroom, and I'm sure I'll use it again someday. And then 5 years later, you brush it off and you go, man, has technology changed?
Definitely. I think I still have one of those HDD 200 decoders, too, for the 4D. I have a PanSat, I think a Riza. I definitely have a nice receiver collection, along with a couple of Toshibas and General Instrument analog receivers as well.
Now, once you get outside of the metropolitan areas, is C-band still in use? Is it still popular, or is it fading up in Canada?
Unfortunately, there have been a couple of places we wanted to target to market, but last couple of time visits I did in those areas, a lot of the dishes were gone, unfortunately. So, but they're still out there in the outskirts. But for some reason, some people do not want to upgrade. You know, we used to go, what we used to call, satellite hunting or big dish hunting? I forget what it was. We used to just go on the road. Any dish we saw, we'd just give out flyers, knock doors, and talk to people. And for some reason, especially out in the outskirts, people were kind of hesitant. Some people even told us that they were warned by the RCMP and it's illegal and this and that. So a lot of the older generation basically didn't even want to talk about it. And some, you know, people like maybe probably under 50, at least they'd take a flyer. Some people would upgrade and this and that. But I noticed the older folks were kind of, actually looked like they were kind of scared to talk about it. So I'm not sure what the RCMP or whoever did in their areas, but
I think they did a really good job of going after the people that were doing theft of service. And when you use the word FTA, I think a lot of people just suddenly thought of the dark side when the theft of service crowd adopted the terminology free to air to mean that we'll give you something that's scrambled and not free for free. And I really think that there was a real stigma attached to receiving anything free. I think everybody just got suspect of their neighbors And
a lot of the dealers or so-called dealers, just like the experience I had, unfortunately, I was not the only one. And I noticed that, I mean, over the years, dealing with people across Canada, well, Canada, United States, all over the place, technicians would go and supposedly be working and aligning and setting up the dish, but in the end, the dish is never, you know, is out of whack. So that made a lot of people dump their dish because they figured, you know, these guys install it when they got the 4D, set it up, and hardly anything's working, and people started to get used to that, you know. They figure, oh, my neighbor's is the same, this guy's the same, you know, everything's breaking up. So people thought it was like that, unfortunately, and people just cut the cord.
And I really don't want to, yeah, and I don't want to insult anyone out there, but there is a big difference between a installer for Dish Network, Bell, ExpressView today, mm-hmm. and a technician who used to install satellite dishes.
Definitely.
They're not even the same breed.
Not at all. And that definitely hurt the big dish a lot. I'd say not just in Canada. I'd say basically anywhere where people were installing them. You guys all know with that theft stuff and all those things happen over the years. A lot of people cut the cord. But, I mean, you know, the dishes are still out there. A lot of people that move into a house that already have a C-band dish, you know, again, I think it's more of an age thing. A lot of elderly people probably won't even bother with it, but again, like a lot of my clients are probably in their 40s, 50s. So when they move into a house, you know, even in their 30s, they see this big dish. Like, hey, yo, I'm going to Google this, you know. And they go check it out. And they're like, oh, wow. You know, they get all excited and they give us a call. And a lot of them are not local, which is fine. You know, we recommend the forums like we've mentioned. And a lot of these guys are getting into it on their own. You know, we send them the products and if they have any questions, I'm always here to help, or they could always check out the forums. And, you know, the majority of the time, you know, people, the average user could usually set these, get these big dishes going again. So, you know, it's definitely still
yeah,
there.
So much of this, you know, I think a lot of it was for a period of time. It was so much cheaper just to call Bell ExpressView or Dish Network and get a completely free system with all these channels, and you don't have to touch it again. You know, it was cheaper than buying a single replacement LNB.
Yeah, so. That's true.
But I think things have really kind of shifted the other way where you have a whole new crowd of people where, you know, this equipment is to a point, as an importer myself, I think it's too cheap. It's to a point where it's hard to have a middleman and to give customer support. Without customer support, the hobby will die.
Definitely, definitely. Times are changing, and the aim for the lowest cost product is definitely not good for our industry. There were some guys out there selling extremely low cost equipment, you know, and it's just not good because people, you know, you don't want to sell something to a customer and then not even 3 months later, you know, it's gone, it's dead. You know, that's not the way to have repeat business and to keep your customers happy. So. So it's good if importer
exactly
like
right.
you, right, has you know better you quality know. Product, good quality control. We definitely would prefer sending those type of products out to our customers.
You know, and that's something that I really want to say about your business. We've known each other for over 10 years now, and it's something that I can say about you. You know the value of customer service, and you understand that. It is through customer service that you get the opportunity to, you know, have a repeat customer or to have somebody tell their friend, because so much of this business is just somebody telling a friend about, hey, I get all these free channels. You know, you can either talk negatively about the experience or you can have a great experience that you share with a friend. Yep. And that's something that you give your customers. Excellent customer service, and it's something that I've heard over and over about you through the years.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, at one time I did have a very large dealer network in Canada, but then I did do a big cleanup of my dealer list, you know, with complaints, again, coming from the technicians that were not aligning the dishes properly. And I have a talk with the dealers, and if they didn't really know what was going on, you know, we cut them off. And unfortunately, the list became extremely small, and then we did have a lot of dealers that retired, and unfortunately they passed away, and you know, it's we don't have too many dealers to recommend anymore across the country, but we still do have some guys in Winnipeg and British Columbia, a couple of guys in Ontario, but there's certain recommendations, but it's not like it used to be.
So our Canadian friends who are listening in, just because Roger is over in near Montreal, doesn't mean that he can't help find a local technician for you. So let's see. You have a toll-free number, 866-314-4442.
Yep.
And I know that's on your website. And so across Canada, folks that are looking for not only equipment, but people. Roger is connected with a lot of people out there, and he definitely knows a lot of the technicians. So also, if you're a technician in Canada and you have some skills that, for the big satellite dishes and for commercial, I'm sure that Roger would love to talk with you.
Oh, yeah. Please give me a shout anytime. You could also use the contact form on the website as well. You could reach us through social media. I'm always definitely happy to help out customers, and if there's technicians out there that like to tinker with this stuff or need equipment, I mean, please don't hesitate to contact us.
Now, earlier you and Michael were talking about custom AV installations. Let's visit that, Michael.
I've got a question about that, Roger. You said that you did some of those, right? The custom, yep. Where you set up the whole nine yards. When the all-in-one, the setup in a box started coming out, we just buy it and just throw it in. Did that affect your business any?
It's certain people that definitely it was kind of like an example. It's kind of like the small dishes and stuff like that. People would jump on that because it's a low cost, free installation, something like that. They definitely have right. their space in this market. Those home theaters in a box, sound bars and stuff like that are definitely catered to people in condos, apartments, and small living spaces. But we definitely do have the people with, a house that have just a home theater room. Or two home theater rooms,
right? Oh, yeah.
And that is where people want. I mean, now the new the Dolby Atmos is out there with the amazing surround sound systems coming out. We 7.1 or 9.1 installations. I mean, ceiling, everything, in wall installation. So that definitely right now we're doing a lot of pre wiring for speakers because a lot of people are renovating. There's always a market still out there for people that want the, the best, you want that cinema feeling in your home.
Right.
So you definitely have those clients that are still out there.
You're still doing a lot of commercial work in bars and restaurants for entertainment and that type of sports programming, that sort of part of the industry?
That has come to a slowdown. Yes, for the television stuff, where we install the mounts for the televisions, we're still doing stuff like that. But with the C-band, unfortunately, we've had a lot of clients that had to redo their roof, and they decided to get rid of their dishes. Insurance was giving them problems for the large dishes and this and that, so we had problems with that. They had to remove them. And a lot of other sports bars around here, again, Montreal is very a very lenient city. It's unlike Ontario and of certain other provinces where Bell and Rogers pay people a visit. Here in Montreal, the sports bars are basically able to do what they want. And right now, a lot of them are doing a lot of the IP stuff with streaming and stuff like that and using
bringing in the European sports, et cetera.
Exactly. And, these guys are getting, they're setting up, they know we're here if they need us. There still are sports bars still using the big dishes, but we don't have as many clients here in Montreal that I still have them going, unfortunately.
As you talk about the commercial end of your business has really changed, what is a typical commercial job that you will do now?
Usually for putting up, it's been a while, but if there's an installation for a 4.5 meter dish. I mean, unfortunately, Anderson just pulled the plug on their dishes. That's very sad.
Really?
Yeah. You know,
oh, when was that?
Here in Canada, we did a lot of the Anderson 1.8 and 2.4s for the KU band.
Oh, quality dishes. I've sold many of those. When did they close?
Well, I was in contact with Ray a couple of months ago looking for I think it was a 3.5 or 4.5 meter, and he told me the owner's son, which took over, is basically pulling out of the satellite business. So from what I know, I mean, you guys have to get confirmation from Ray, but he did respond to my email and say, yes, they're no longer available. That was about 2-3 months ago, so I have not contacted him since. So from what I know, they're no longer available, but I mean, it's always good to check up just in case. Maybe it was misinformed,
yeah,
or maybe the son changed his mind. But from what I know, they're no longer available.
Oh, man. I direct a lot of people on the forums over to Anderson just because I've really they've made a quality product for so many years, and we'll follow up on it, but that
definitely
is unfortunate.
Up, but from what I know, they're not doing it, and that was a big hit to us, especially they're definitely very nice dishes. But DH now has some sectionals available, which makes them a lot mm-hmm. easier for transportation, because transportation was always an issue with D&H, DH antenna. Because at one time they only made one-piece antennas, and that was for transport, especially the international destinations. That was, the costs are way, way too high. But we could get the section.
Well, I'm sure those flatbed semi drivers loved DH.
but they have the sectionals now. You know, we could still get some larger dishes from other manufacturers as well, but. You know, Anderson, the True Focus line was my go-to dishes at one time.
Well, thank you very much, Roger. We've really enjoyed having you on this evening and talking a little bit about the history of you and the company, and a little bit about Canada, a little OTA, a little FTA, a little C-band, a little subscription, a little IPTV. Mm-hmm. Really interesting to talk with you. And for anybody who wants to check out Roger's website, his store, head over to www.rpssat.com. Thank you very much, Roger. You have a great evening, and we look forward to talking to you again sometime.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, Roger. It was nice being on the show. I thank you, Michael and Brian. Thanks for having me as a guest. And, yeah, hopefully we could do it again sometime.
Okay, guys, we'll be right back right after this. Join us here live every Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific for another exciting episode of Satellite Nation. Satellite Nation is a live, one-hour weekly call-in radio show about the technology that we love. Every week, Satellite Nation features top industry news, interviews with the people and companies behind the products and services that change the world. Listen live to Satellite Nation for the inside scoop on the products and technology that we use every day. Meet and talk with the dreamers, innovators, developers of yesterday's, today's, and tomorrow's technologies. Satellite Nation airs here on Satellite Guys Radio and on Access America Radio Network on Satellite Galaxy 19. Tune in every Wednesday night live at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Like us on Facebook. Let us know what you want to talk about, because it's your Satellite Nation.
It is now time for the Tech Corner. If you would like your question answered on the Tech Corner, please post your question on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Satellite Nation Radio.
Good evening, Satellite Nation, and good evening, Michael.
Good evening, Brian.
Well, that was a great interview. For those of you who are interested in some RPS satellite discounts, Those are going to be available. I understand he's going to be posting some discounts up tomorrow on
Brian,
Twitter and Facebook.
You need to bump a button now. You got music going in the background.
Oh, no. Okay, how's that?
There you go. There you go.
Well,
it was drowning you out.
Okay, so tomorrow, I guess Roger's going to be posting up some specials on Twitter and Facebook. And that's what, on Facebook and Twitter, he goes by the RPSSAT. So that's RPSSAT. So we're looking forward to seeing what specials he has up.
It'll be on it'll be on Satellite Nation Twitter, too. So if you follow either one of us, you'll see him posted up in the morning.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, that was very interesting. And I did confirm this afternoon. I called Anderson Manufacturing. They're located up in Idaho Falls, Idaho. And I've known Ray Phillips up there for many, many years. And, of course, as I talked about, I've sold their dishes for many, many years. Great quality dishes. But, unfortunately, it looks like I talked to the receptionist because Ray wasn't available yesterday or today. And I did confirm that they are no longer manufacturing unless a special order on very large commercial dishes. So very unfortunate that we've lost another C-band or quality dish source. And they were truly quality dishes that came at a very reasonable price.
Yeah, when he told us that during the interview, I was like, what? You know, but I'm glad you did call and confirm that for sure. And, oh, I hate to hear that, hear another one go, but I guess you didn't find out any reasons or anything. So you still didn't get to talk to Ray, but maybe you can get a hold of him one day and find out. But
well, I left a message for him.
You think, you know, for commercial stuff, he would have plenty of stuff.
Yeah, well, left a message for him, and so hopefully we can get him on as a guest on a future show because, I mean, this man is a walking encyclopedia of the history of the industry as well. So it would be great to talk with him and get some more information. But, yeah, hate to be the bearer of bad news, but the industry has, it looks like, lost a great source of a wonderful high-quality dish at a very truly reasonable price.
Right.
Well, let's see.
Yeah, that's sad.
You know, we do have other sources of dishes out there, though. You know, DH Satellite. Now, of course, their dishes, great quality commercial dishes, but they're definitely on the upper price, upper end of the price range. You know, as Roger was saying, you know, for the most part, they put out one piece dishes. They are putting out some sectionals, but Their price tags are considerably higher than most other things out there, but they certainly are very high quality.
Definitely price for a commercial.
You know, there's been a couple of guys I've seen on the forums. You know, they've ordered them, and they really like them. They are first-rate stuff. So if you're listening this evening and you want to weigh in and talk with us about the departure of Anderson, or if you want to talk about anything else relating to electronics, satellite, Roku, telephones, cell, whatever you have, give us a call, 877-SAT.
Anything technology related, we'll talk about it.
877-SAT, guys, as Scott pointed out, not fat guys, but SAT guys, and that's 877-728-4897. That's and then to save us a dime, you can call a toll free 347-327-9319. And it looks like we do have a caller. Let's find out.
Toll free.
Well, let's find out who we have there. Caller from area code 260. Go ahead. You are on Satellite Nation.
Hey guys, what's going on?
Good evening. Is this Dan?
Yes.
Good evening.
Hello, Dan.
What's going on in your part of the world, and what do you want to talk about?
Let's see here. Polar mounts. I've been asking about polar mounts. I've been doing some research on that.
Uh-huh.
Okay. For what?
I'm trying to figure out about the actuators on them and trying to set up my own polar mount. And if it could, is there a way that you could put two actuators on it to go east and west, or is it just meant to go in one direction?
Well, an actuator arm extends, you know, east and west. It can typically, a polar mount with an actuator arm can typically cover, oh, at least 130, 140 degrees of the, you know, and that's pretty much horizon, almost horizon to horizon. It definitely favors the one side. You know, I think you're pushing it hard on some designs to get it much past, what, maybe 120 degrees. But yeah, you would only go with a single single actuator.
Yeah, you wouldn't need two.
Okay, well, I seen the videos online. I was doing some research, and I wanted to go from 58 to 125.
Oh, that's nothing for a single actuator. That's you know, out here on the West Coast, I cover all the way from 55. And I could bury that on the west, but I cover all the way up to the 139 sat. So a single actuator arm, you know, you need to be aware of your throw length and make sure that you get a long enough throw, 24, 36-inch actuator. But, of course, there's a lot of other HH motors out there for polar mounts, like the Ajax motors. And those can truly go horizon to horizon, and they run off of 24 to 36 volts.
Okay. Well, I mean, I just want some, like, an actuator, and I'm still doing research on it and trying to work with it and see what I can come up with.
Uh-huh. Well, with the limited coverage of 58 to 139, yeah, you'll be able to do that just with a standard actuator arm. Measure what the length is and, you know, go to the next larger size than what you think you need. You know, if you measure your throw length to be, you know, 20 inches, definitely 24 is going to be maxed out when you hit the eastern or western horizon. So, you know, you might even want to consider going to a 36-inch throw if you start getting near. But, you know, most of them out there right now, a 24-inch actuator throw is very typical for a 8 to 10-foot. What do you have on yours, Michael?
Mine is I think it's 36.
Uh-huh.
Pretty sure it is.
Yeah,
I have resurrected and built out of two different ones. I think it's 36-inch throw.
Yeah.
Well, I got plenty of left over, I can tell you that, and I go from 40-something to about 137.
And it really just depends on the design of the dish, and one of my favorite modifications to dishes is actually to move the clamp point on the reflector end of the arm out farther. And sometimes I've even put an L bracket on it so I can reach a little bit more around the corner, if you know what I mean. Once you go past the top of the arc, if you put if you extend out a little bit farther, you'll have finer count detail for each degree. You'll have a higher count per degree.
Yep.
And then if you put an L on the end of that extension, then you can even get a little farther past the top of the axis. Or the apex of the arc.
Right. Just make sure you get your good heavy-duty actuator, not one of these cheapos, and you're trying that, because I've broken that. Stripped them out.
You know, and the ones that DMS carries,
their limit.
Yeah, I've found that, you know, I personally prefer rebuilding, like, a, you know, I have a couple of Von Weiss 36 heavy-duty. They'll outlive me. And
yeah, that's why I've got them on Von Weiss.
Yeah, and then I have some Ventures. And by the way, we hope to have somebody on from Venture very soon. So it will be great to hear about the history.
That.
Yeah, that will be a great, great show. And then also Tim at DMS, his 3624s, I've had very good luck with them. They're not the beefiest, but man, dollar for value, it's there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. they're decent for what they are, and they're good. I know you've run across some ones out there before. It's made really puny. And
oh yeah,
they might work on that WSI. You know, what was that $69 dish a few years ago?
The tin foil dish,
a decent sized dish. They, yeah, a decent sized dish. They ain't gonna stand up to it.
Now, Dan, something that you might want to look at is over in the UK. They make a horizon-to-horizon setup, and they also make a couple other little motors to control smaller dishes. And I know you're into smaller dishes where you're at right now, but Satellite Superstore is kind of an interesting site to snoop around over in the UK. And they have one that actually uses an 18, I think it's an 18-inch throw for controlling a 1.2-meter dish.
Yeah, I've seen those, and I've been to that site, and it's pretty neat the way they have everything set up, and they had good pictures just so you can see what kind of products they have. And
yeah, they have a 1.2 and a 1.5, I think, over there that is custom made over in the UK. It's pretty impressive for these larger composite dishes.
John, did you get your wobbly pole fixed? Because you still have to, you know, to go this
hey,
way.
What are we talking about here?
You got to have it.
Hey, no talk about wobbly poles, okay?
And say he's got a wobbly pole.
Sounds like I'm watching, like, you know,
that's
why
this. I didn't want to go with the youth house.
Get TV or something. Lawsuits and wobbly pole issues.
Yeah.
So, Dan, you...
Well, I was going to... What did you say, Brian?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, go ahead and talk about your wobbly pole.
Well, it wasn't going to be on that pole because I can't go, and the partners I can go with the dish I have on it is... to 87. I can only go from 87 to 125. So yeah, I was going to have it something where I can extend it out. Like I have since I can't have another pole in the ground, I was going to have another, kind of work with that and kind of go off of that and make another pole.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not in the ground.
How creative.
So I can go around the corner.
Very creative. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Try to.
You know, definitely.
Go ahead.
You keep spraying DirecTV logos on dishes. I'm curious how big you're going to be able to go there before they catch on.
Well, they've already got. I got in trouble for the two smaller dishes. They, they didn't even notice the dish changed, the size changed.
Yeah, it's kind of like throwing a frog mm-hmm. in cool water and bringing it up to temperature. They don't even notice that they're boiling.
Yep. Yeah. Then you have frog soup.
There we go. You know, the other, we were talking about satellite dish suppliers, and definitely it looks like probably DH is probably the prime one right now. Now, the one other that we've, you know, talked a lot about on different forums is the Tech 2000, and I really don't know what to make of their site right now. Seems like everything on the site is out of stock. You know, coming soon, out of stock.
Everything's gone off Amazon and eBay.
Yeah. So it looks like, you know, they probably had brought in a small quantity, sold out of it, and just keeping the site active with a bunch of listings. But it certainly looks like they don't have much to sell right now. I'm a little concerned because, you know, I know that, you know, there is some free-to-air Turbo 8, but, you know, I really don't know what to make of them promoting that they're selling the AZ Link box with the, you know, the only box to do Turbo and everything. I certainly hope that this site doesn't become a hacker site, because I really would have trouble referring people over there to get a satellite dish.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it will be hard if they do that, and I've been to that. I'm looking for one little thing somewhere on the forum somewhere. Somebody say, hey, go over, take 2,000. They'll show you how to cheat and I'm like, yep, look, but I ain't found it yet, but I'm still looking.
Yeah, I really don't want to go down that road, but, you know, you just really have to look at any legit site. I know there is some free-to-air a Turbo 8 up there, you know, once in a blue moon, but, you know, to be promoting on the website, it just makes one very suspicious. And, hopefully we can talk with somebody from Tech 2000 and find out, who they are and what they're selling. And there's just a lot of theories going out there. And unfortunately, when you see things like that pop up on a site, it kind of makes you go, whoa, you know, am I doing the right thing by referring people over to that website to buy a dish?
Right, yeah. I emailed him one time. I'll do it again, see if I can get anything out of him. But I'll try to get him to come on the show and tell our site and out their products, but I ain't got anything in return. So.
Yep.
Well, maybe I'll try again and see.
Well, not too much new on the forums this week. Just seeing a little talk. I've really been enjoying the Heroes and Icons. Have you guys been watching that channel at all?
I watched it some.
Yeah, it's.
I haven't been able to pick it up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's. I'm really enjoying it. Between that and just kind of made a whole evening out of watching that the other day, and great movies. It's good to see a variety that you're not seeing on any of the other stations right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And don't forget, everybody, that Brian's got a contest going. And it ends, what, Sunday?
Monday. I usually end them, but yeah.
I'll throw that in there real quick.
Oh, thanks.
Is it Monday? Yeah, it is Monday. Okay, I looked at the calendar wrong.
Yeah, I usually give everybody a week.
Got that contest going over there.
Yeah, I usually give everybody one more weekend to get their entries in. And what it is, it's a choice of your choice of a PLL C-band LMBF. And so we're now selling the C1 PLL, the C1W PLL, and the C1 PLL wideband. That's the basic model. That's without the fins, without all the fancy stuff, but still the good ratings. And then the C2 PLL. So thanks for making mention of that, Michael. I appreciate that. And if you want to enter in and define which one you would like to win, we're going to actually be giving out four of them. So if you go to the Satellite Guys website and enter the contest, you can tell us which one of the four models you would like to win. And then we're going to be drawing four winners next Monday.
Wow. Yeah, I wanted to make note of that since it's going to be ending before next show. So anybody, you've got quite a bit of entries in, it looks like, but anybody's not entered yet, head on over there and enter in that if you can use one of those LMBFs and maybe you'll win one.
There we go. Did you enter in yet, Dan?
Yes, I did.
Awesome. Well, hopefully we can.
I got the C1 PLL.
Uh-huh. Well, who knows? Maybe next time we talk. Maybe next time we'll talk, you'll have one of those hanging off the dish arm.
Well, talking about the C1 POL, let's mention the fact that something I just starting to learn about is, I guess, over in other places. But now these have got the WiMAX filter built in, and Brian, off the bat, you can get just the C1s, right? It's not the wideband version, or is it the wideband version?
No, the C1 PLL has WiMAX and wide area Wi-Fi filtering. So what WiMAX and wide area Wi-Fi is, it's also known as a 4G wireless network, and they're launching all over the world right now. And the C1 PLL has a soft roll-off from 3.6 to 3.7 gig, and then it's a hard roll-off below 3.6. And so what that does is all of this potential interference to C-band is stopped before it even gets into the amplifier of the LMB. And so it's selling like hotcakes. I just prepped an order to go over to a couple of different countries, and we're talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and just put together an order for 4,000 units to go into the Middle East. So it's wide area Wi-Fi and WiMAX is really becoming a problem internationally. And, of course,
yeah. We
do hear of some people here in North America with wide area Wi-Fi where they do have that interference popping in there. But, you know, at least over here it's licensed. In some of these countries, they're just going full out power to cover as many miles as they can.
Right. Yeah. Trying that big, it's high as it'll go. I know we got a few countries, you know, that listen, South Nation around the world. And I thought that might be of interest to mention there. And I'm glad you brought C1 that made me think about it.
Yeah, it's something that I wasn't even really promoting, you know, because I knew it was an issue, but, you know, in North America, it's just one of those things you run into occasionally, but internationally, it's becoming something. And, you know, when they brought around Wi-Fi, wide area Wi-Fi, WiMAX, they predicted there was going to be a problem, but, you know, everybody said, you know, it's not going to really interfere with communications, but this is not true. Had one country in Asia contact me, and they're bringing in thousands of units right now. They, all of the cable head ends, they are losing specific transponders off the satellite because of WiMAX integration. So it's quite interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I see we're coming up on just about a minute remaining in our time. Where did the time go?
Yep, and I know it always goes fast. I want to mention that Ralph Black's Sat Talk Live with Mike Cole will be on tonight, right after this show. He's back up this week.
Very good.
So, there's where the noise is coming from. But anyway, tune in right after this show at 9 o'clock. Just stay tuned in, and you can pick up Sat Talk Live.
And I wanted to remind everybody to check out RPS Sat, and Roger is going to be running some specials over there. So go Twitter, go tweet him, or check out his Twitter feed, or on Facebook, and check out his specials coming up. And then let's see, what else do we have here? Just wanted to thank Roger for being a guest of ours this evening, and telling us about what's going on up in Canada, eh? So, tune in next week for another informative and hopefully entertaining Satellite Nation radio show. Good night, Michael.
Good night, Brian. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Satellite Nation.
Tuned in tonight. Join Satellite Guys Michael and Brian next Wednesday for another informative episode of Satellite Nation. And don't forget to like our page at facebook.com/Satellite Nation Radio. Until next week, good night.